Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is easy to believe when everything is going well, isn't it? It is easy to believe that God loves you when the lines that trace out your life fall in pleasant places. It is easy to believe and to receive the peace of God which passes all human understanding when everyone is getting along with everyone else. It is easy to be content with your situation in life when your financial situation is sound and your portfolio is secure. It is easy to pray when your body is healthy and your mind is clear. It is easy to say, "I am a Christian," when you are in a Christian community and the majority of those present would say the same. It is easy to take a stand on the moral issues of the day when to do so poses no risk to your job or to your friendships. It is easy to believe when things are going well. One of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." But what happens when things are not going very well? What happens to your belief in God and the fact that he loves you and cares for you when things go wrong, and not just one thing, but one thing after another? What happens to that peace of God when the office and the classroom and your home are like three pots of boiling tensions and emotions, and you jump from one into the other? What happens to that contentment with your situation in life when you don't have enough money to pay the bills and your credit card is maxed out and the car isn't running and the water heater just broke? What happens to your praying when you are sick and it's all that you can do to get through the next hour or the next day or the next test or the next treatment or the next surgery? What happens to your bold confession of faith when you are outnumbered by those who despise you, Christians, because you have the audacity to say that there is only one true religion? What happens to your bravery to take a stand on the moral issues of the day when to do so means that you will most surely face rejection? What happens to your faith when things are not going very well? Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Faith is that trust in the heart that believes in the promises of God. Faith is a gift from God, given by the Holy Spirit through holy baptism and the hearing of the gospel. The gift of faith is like the door of a heart to the heart. It's like the gates of a mighty dam that open in order to let all of the blessings and the promises of God into your life. The comfort of his presence, the joy of his peace, the security of his care, the relief in his forgiveness for all of your sins, the hope in his power to heal your illness, the confidence in his protective care of your life, the contentment of knowing that God works all things for good in the lives of those who love him, all of this is packaged into that gift called faith, the trust of the heart in the promises of God. But anyone who thinks that faith is not affected by the conditions and the circumstances and the situations in which we live out our life is either over-medicated or dead. Because really, only the dead are unfazed by their situations and circumstances. And so, take heart. One day, you will die. It will be a day of God's choosing, not of your own. But on that day, all of the struggles will be over. And the conditions and the circumstances and the situations of your life will evaporate. And there will be heaven and glory and indescribable joy and everlasting peace and permanent security and perfect contentment and holy, holy, holy worship and thanksgiving and praise with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven. When we die, our faith will reach its final goal, the goal that it will never reach, never attain as long as we are alive in this world. Then suddenly, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, the goal that it could never attain so long will be attained, and everything will be new. And we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And all of the promises of God will be fully realized. And Jesus will be all in all. And every condition and circumstance and situation in our life will be Jesus. And only Jesus. But until that day comes, a day that is set by God and not by you, we live by faith. Faith that is constantly being challenged and attacked and threatened by the conditions and the circumstances and the situations in which we live. And just to be sure that we are understanding each other here, we're not talking about things like when the minivan broke down on the way to the grocery store, or when your team didn't win its meet, or when the elections didn't go the way you wanted them to. We're talking about the things that strike at the very heart of your faith in God, your trust in the promises of God, because they all seem to be aimed directly at you. We're talking about those things that make you worry about your life, even though Jesus says, do not worry about your life. That make us afraid, even though Jesus says, fear not, little flock. That make us so angry and frustrated and depressed that we shake our hand to the sky and we say, if God really loves me, why does he let this stuff happen to me, even though Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, abide in my love. That make us wonder if God's promises are really true and raise certain doubts in our minds about his word and tempt us to wonder if whether or not God really does exist, even though Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Do you think that Jesus does not know all of this? Do you think that Jesus does not understand how the situations and conditions and circumstances of our life affect our faith? Just listen to him describe those conditions and circumstances and situations. Many will come in my name saying, I am he, and there will be wars and rumors of wars, and nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes and famines, and they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten, and you will stand before governors and kings, and brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. And if all of this meant that the end was in sight, well, then maybe we could bear it, maybe we could endure it for just a little while longer. I mean, if all of these things were signs that the light at the end of the tunnel was just around the bend, then maybe we could cope, maybe we could put up with it just for a little bit longer, knowing that the end is near. But Jesus says, this must first take place, but the end is not yet. These are but the beginnings of birth pains. This is just the beginning, folks. and things are going to get much worse. And they're going to get much worse for several reasons. First of all, because the devil is real, and he is in the world, and he wants to devour that faith that binds you to God and to his promises and to his worship and to his sacraments. And he will do everything in his power to wreak as much havoc upon your life as he can possibly do, because even the devil understands that the conditions and the circumstances and the situations in your life affect your faith and have the potential of stealing your joy and your peace and your contentment and your prayer and your faith in the promises of God. And second, these things will continue to get worse because of sin. Our sin that is in us, and the sin that is absorbed into the very fabric of this world. The selfishness that is in each one of us that demands that I do whatever is good for me, even though it may not be good for others. The idolatry in each one of us that believes that the real remedy for all of our problems and our troubles lies in governments and courts and laws and politicians and the economy. The vanity in each one of us that believes that man can really control the conditions and the circumstances and the situations of his life, just given enough time and enough science and technology and the right economic program. Do you think that Jesus does not know all of this? Do you think that Jesus does not understand all of this? To all of this, Jesus says, "See that no one leads you astray." While all this is going on around us and in us, he says, "Be on your guard." Even as these things touch you and strike you and torture you, he says, "Do not be anxious." And here's why. In the midst of a world that is going from bad to worse, in the midst of every condition and circumstance and situation in your life, the gospel is being proclaimed to all nations. The gospel that proclaims that God has entered into his creation, into your condition, into your circumstance, into your situation, and he is making all things new. The gospel that proclaims that Christ has defeated the devil, that Christ has forgiven all of your sins, that Christ is working in all things to make good for those who love him, that Christ is with you to the very end of this age, that Christ is in you, and that you are in Christ, and that nothing will separate his love from you. But the end of all of your suffering and your pain and your despair and the destruction and the sorrow and sin and death is going to come when the gospel is preached to every nation. And so if you want to speed that day along, you should begin by letting the gospel be preached to you. For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for those who are far off, everyone for whom the Lord has called to himself. And this is the promise that I will make with you, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on your heart and write them on your mind. I will remember your sin and your lawless deeds no more. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with you. He will dwell with you, and you will be his people. And God himself will be with you as your God. And he will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former thing, the deceit and the deceptions and the lies, the disease and the suffering and the sickness, the wars and the rumors of wars, the nations against nations, the earthquakes and the famines have all passed away. So Jesus' admonition to his disciples is this admonition to each and every one of us. The one who endures to the end shall be saved. But we, like sheep, all go astray, each one to his own way. Our faith is weak. We are easily tempted, and endurance is certainly not our strong suit. By our own power, none of us can endure a day, let alone to the end. But the gospel is being preached to all nations, and the gospel proclaims that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith, that Jesus, who has begun a good work in us, will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the cornerstone upon which the entire foundation is built, and it will not be shaken. He who endures to the end shall be saved. So let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Amen.